Go to the Vaqueros Hotline now. He is a former colleague of ours, but now doing great work with the Cowboys Radio Network up there pre- and post-game for the NFL, but also SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. He is one of the best, our buddy Ari Temkin. Ari, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Yeah, Johnny Rogers in here with us, and
morning,
Zay Collier, of course. But you talk Big 12 football and sports every day on SiriusXM, and talk to the coaches and the who's who around the conference as we do. But you do it from a bigger, looking down of the whole conference level. What is what's the feel on Baylor? I mean, they lose Jalen Petrie, the stud at safety. They lose, the outside receiver, Tyquan Thornton. They lose. The linebacker who was so darn good, Terrell Bernard. So many skill players, but man, the meat of that team is back. What's your preview of Baylor in 2022?
Yeah, I must have missed it. Where do you have them in your top 25?
Seven.
Yeah,
they're the highest rated Big 12 team in our countdown.
Which I think is right. I picked them preseason as the conference champions, and I did that simply because of what they brought back on their offensive and defensive lines. They certainly lose a ton. I mean, you mentioned it with Petrie, who's their defensive leader, just an absolute monster, in their defense. Terrell Bernard as well. You mentioned Tyquan Thornton. They lose their top two running backs. I mean, they lose a ton. They lose their other wide receiver as well, who entered the transfer portal. They lose a ton, but for me, it's the offensive and defensive lines, perhaps the best interior defensive lineman in the conference, Siaki Ika. And then the confidence that Dave Aranda showed in Blake Shapen to get out of front and name him the starter, 3 months ago. And it was twofold. It was to allow the opportunity for a guy in Jerry Bohannon to transfer and get the opportunity to start elsewhere, which is now what's happened here at USF. I talked about this the other day, but, Brian Kelly, Miles Brennan wanted to transfer, initially when Brian Kelly took the job at LSU. Brian Kelly talked him into staying, and, he ended up being third in the depth chart and then quitting football. And Dave Aranda has a guy that, he told us at media days that he still has a picture of Gary Bohannon and his kids, in his house.
Yeah.
So just to show you the relationship difference between the two, and obviously it was allowed him to get out in front of the ability to transfer, but I thought the confidence that Aranda showed in Shapen, he's going to attack down the field a lot more than Bohannon was able to do consistently. I thought, Bohannon was perfect for what they wanted to do last year. They wanted to run the football, be more ball control, and play good defense, and Shapen, I think, gives them a lot more of an opportunity to attack down the field offensively. I think it's going to be a different look team this year. I actually picked Blake Shapen as my offensive player of the year
in
Big 12 this year, too, because I'm betting big on Baylor. And again, it goes back to what they bring back in lines of scrimmage. If you took Baylor's offensive and defensive lines and combined them with Texas's skill position players, you'd have a national championship contender.
Yeah, they'd be up there. They'd be up there with what Alabama and Ohio State are bringing to the table. Because you're right, Ika, Siaki Ika on the defensive line is immovable. He transferred in from LSU, kind of followed Dave Aranda. Then they also got the transfer of the Tulsa defensive lineman Jackson Player, who was a kid out of Waco who went to Tulsa and just has emerged. They've also got another kid in on the defensive line who's Gabe Hall, who's a monster. I mean, they are so stout in the interior, which is how Dave Aranda builds defense, and then the offensive line, excellent. And I tend to agree with you. I think Blake Shapen, there's a reason that Dave Aranda made that call. He sees something. He's a baseball player. He's got that ability to throw from all platforms. And so a lot of skill talent to replace. But, man, when you start and end with those lines of scrimmage, they're going to be a tough nut each and every Saturday.
I mean, exactly. You can poke holes in every single one of these teams we talk about as a potential Big 12 champion.
Sure.
Baylor, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, those three in particular. Like, none of them are flawless football teams. I think that plays into, the parity in this league potentially this year and why maybe one of those three won't even end up winning the league because those are the three we expect. But again, there's just flaws in every single one of these teams. But, as we all know, when you are that good and that stout on both lines of scrimmage, like, that's the key. It's so secret what makes the SEC so good. I mean, look up and down the NFL draft. You've got SEC offensive and defensive linemen littered in that first round. I mean, that's the secret to why the SEC is so dominant in college football. It's as complex as a game as it is. It's a pretty simple game. If you win up front, you move the pile, you're going to be winning. So that to me is what set me over the top in terms of Baylor and having confidence in Baylor. Look, they have a you know, pretty difficult schedule when you factor in they have to travel to BYU and play, you know, a future Big 12 opponent in Provo and at BYU, which BYU should be a pretty good football team this year. They go at Iowa State, which is always a tough matchup, at West Virginia, which is always difficult in terms of a road trip for a Big 12 team because it's so far, and then at Oklahoma as well. So
and here in Austin.
Yeah, you know, and then in Austin, exactly, to end the season. So not the easiest schedule, certainly, and that could potentially be the reason that they, you know, if they don't end up winning this conference, the schedule could play a factor in that too, because they do, I would think, of those three teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor have the toughest schedule.
Yeah, that was my, when I do the positives and negatives of the team, that was my biggest question mark and negative for Baylor, the schedule. Last year they played the favorable schedule with Texas and Oklahoma and Iowa State all in Waco, even West Virginia, and they won a lot of close ball games in those matchups and held on, of course, the goal line stand to win the Big 12 title. But this year they make the trip to Norman, they make the trip to Austin, they go to Morgantown and Ames. That becomes a big challenge for Dave Aranda.
And don't forget about Lubbock. Heading to Lubbock, yeah. Crazy things always happen in that city.
That's correct. I mean, tortillas will be flying, and Joey McGuire, who of course was at Baylor, has intimate knowledge of that program.
Go.
Lubbock will not be an easy trip and never is. Real quick, your thought on Dave Aranda. I know you've interviewed him multiple times, Ari, and he is, he's a different cat. He is a different coach, and he's cut from, he's coming in talking about summer reading. He loves Brené Brown books and things of that nature. He's a real thoughtful person, but man, he connects with his football team in his locker room. There's no doubt about that.
He does.
Yeah, you said it there. He's a different cat. There's just not many, not many football coaches like him, just not many people like him. You know, he's extraordinarily introspective. It's one of the things I respect most about him. I think, most people, it's almost like it's not masculine to be introspective. Like, you can't look back on anything you've done in your life or your flaws and reflect on those. You always have to move forward and be thinking about the next thing. Just anytime we talk to him, it's just like you want to write down everything he says because there's just so much gold that flows from him. And you're like, sometimes you're like, am I losing him? Yeah, I remember going into the season last year after he had such a bad season his first year, and I'm thinking, like, could it be possible that he's too smart for this? Like, is that the case? And obviously we found out after winning a Big 12 championship, that's not the case. I mean, a lot of people talk about, a lot of coaches talk about, being a player-centric program. It's in the decisions he makes, the things that he does. He doesn't just tell you, he shows you that he's a player-centric, that he leads a player-centric program. So I'm a huge, huge Dave Aranda fan. He had this quote at Big 12 Media Days. He said, when talking about after having, being a team that won two games one year and winning a conference championship the next year, now they have the target on their back. He said, what's the quote? He said, before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood and carry water.
There you go.
So, he knows he needs to stick to the same things that got him to being a champion of the Big 12. And, I just have a ton of respect for him and think he's one of the best coaches in college football.
That's why they gave him that new big extension
big
to keep him there, because he was in demand this offseason and will be if he continues to win at Baylor. Hey, Ari, thanks. Appreciate it. Know you got a show to do coming up on SiriusXM, Big 12 Radio. Always appreciate the insights and the perspective, and you've picked Baylor to win that Big 12. And Blake Shapen is your offensive or player of the year in the Big 12. That's a high opinion of the Baylor Bears. Thank you, Ari.
Absolutely. Be well, E. Take care, Johnny.
Got it.